If I had a song on my heart, I would sing, Lord, I just want to thank you. Anybody got a song, Lord, I just want to thank you for being so good to me. Amen. Amen. You know, in 2016, in Cleveland, Ohio, there was a great parade due to the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers had won the NBA championship. And as they won the NBA championship, there were throngs of people from Chester all the way to downtown Cleveland Lakeside, on the left, on the right, all in the streets. I never saw so many people in one area at one time in my entire life. And it reminds me of this text this morning, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. We want to go from Matthew 21, verse 1-11. When you have it, say amen. The title of my message is, Who is This? Who is this? My points I want to make this morning is, 21. Matthew 21, verse 1-11. My points I want to convey this morning is, God has need of thee. Give your burdens to the Lord. What do you have to lay down for Christ? And the last point, Jesus is worthy of our praise and worship. Father God, we thank you once again for time in your word, Lord. We thank you once again that you would speak through me, through with your word, Lord, so that people could be encouraged to do what you would have for them to do. We thank you for our pastor this morning, Lord. Continue to stay by him, stand by him, and guide him and lead him, and lead each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It says, it reads, Matthew 21. And when they had drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, and sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go to the village over against you, and straightway you shall find tied and a coat with her, loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say out unto you, you shall say, The Lord have need of them, and straightway he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and the coat and the foal of the donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the coat, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very, very great multitude spread and their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna in the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I just love that. And it says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, the city was moved, saying, Who is this? May God have a reading to his word for the edification of our soul. You know, I have a message, and I think that by it being Palm Sunday, we should revisit the Palm Sunday message. Amen?
Amen.
It starts off and says, the date was in AD 33. In the year of our Lord, after the birth of Christ. The month was of Nisan. During the festival time of Passover, commemorating when the children of Israel was delivered by the simple obedience of applying the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, and the death angel will pass over, Exodus 12 and 23. Today, Jews have a cedar meal that consists of lamb shanks, nuts, apples, and bitter herbs, bitter lettuce, parsley, a boiled egg, and is brought to the temple. The significance today is Palm Sunday marks the beginning of the Holy Week, the week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, as a reminder of Jesus' path to the cross, during which palm branches were placed in his path before his arrest on the Holy Thursday and his crucifixion on Good Friday. And he rose on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Zechariah 9 and 9 says that it was prophesied that Jesus would come. It was prophesied that Jesus would come. A lot of times we talk about the prophetic, but wasn't anything more prophetic than this, because the fact that Jesus actually came to the exact location, to the exact place, in the exact nature that is prophesied in. Verse 1 says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Pitchin, unto the Mount of Olives, that then sent Jesus two disciples. The number two is related to division and contrast, yet it is also directed to unity and multiplication. For Jesus sent his disciples out two by two for credibility, and in a time of weakness, in a time of doubt, they could be encouraged one another in God's truth, Luke 10 and 1. A disciple is one who has been transformed by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and his teachings. It's transformation of individuals' thinking and heart and their current worldviews, and they are people who are dedicated to the cause of Christ. That's what a disciple is. And we all are disciples. We all been transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? Amen. Verse 2 and 3 says, saying unto them, go into the village over you, and straightway means immediately. Don't diddle-daddle. Go immediately. Do what I told you to do immediately. And you shall find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. A donkey is a sign of service and suffering and peace and humility. A horse represents a sign of war. While I was thinking about the donkey, I saw so many things about him being an animal of suffering, you know, a pack animal, putting all these things on his back, going long distances. But it's another thing I found out about donkeys, that they are very intelligent, that they can see, that they can hear. But the third thing I heard about a donkey is that he don't like dogs. What? He don't like dogs, church. And when I thought about a donkey don't like a dog and Jesus sitting on his back, I thought about the wolves that try to come in and destroy our lives. And if it was due to a donkey would actually fight a wolf all by itself. Horses represent a sign of war. God has need of thee. And if any man say aught unto you, shall say that the Lord have need of thee, and immediately he will send them. It's by divine authority that the people allow the donkeys to go with the disciples. Today, spiritually, people are tied up into all kinds of situations and sins and worldviews. They tied up in stinking thinking, stubbornness. But the biggest sin is not the personal, is not all these things that come against it, but the biggest problem is our sin nature. It's we not having a relationship with Christ. our personal relationship with Christ, knowing him, living like him, thinking like him, loving like him, and growing in the full stature of him, Ephesians 4:13. Philippians 3:10 say, my biggest desire is that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Yet, as Jesus' disciples today, he wants us also to say, the Lord has need of thee. No matter what you have done, Christ has need of you. Can you remember the day someone told you about Christ? You know, I remember the day that someone told me, it was two guys came up to me, just like this text. They came up to me and say, brother, God want to use you. How many have that happened to them where someone came up to you and said that God wants to use you, not tomorrow, not Thursday, not Friday, but today? And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. That's a blessing that we will move at God's command. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat there. And this was done that it might fulfill Zechariah 9:9. Behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek, and sitting on the donkey. Jesus didn't come by the standards of an earthly king. He was more than a king. He was the Lord of lords and King of kings. Today, he didn't come. He didn't come. If he was coming today, we would be looking for him to be in the most elaborate car. We would be looking for him being in the Lexus. We'll be looking for him being in the Maybach. We'll be looking for him to be in a bulletproof car. But he didn't come like that. He didn't come with wealth and splendor and pageantry, but he came poverty. And Jesus said that, don't you know that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everything that dwelleth therein, everything belongs to me. Even the things that's been created by man, it belongs to me because I've given them the knowledge to create these things. He came in meekness, not as an arrogant conqueror. You know, most kings and people in leadership, sometimes they get arrogant and cocky. But Jesus didn't come like that. Jesus came meek, humble, and lowly. He didn't come to defeat Israel armies, but he came to be a savior for mankind's sins. The people were more interested in saving a nation and not the salvation of a soul. You know, many times I think about we in America, we more interested in blackism and nationalism. But Jesus didn't come for all that. He came for our souls. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. It says, and he brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. We must give our burdens to the Lord. How can you walk freely when you're all tied up and when your mind is heavy, your heart is heavy? You can't serve God in the manner that you want to. You must cast those things down and allow God to work through us. Amen. Amen. And I say give your burdens to the Lord, but it's something that we should all cry to have the Lord sit on us. I was thinking about Jesus. He had the donkey and he was sit on the clothes. He sit on our burdens. He sat on the things that cause worry. He sat on the things that cause anxiety. He sat on our complaints. He sat on the responsibilities that we had towards God. Let the Lord sit on you. Sometimes we don't allow the Lord to sit on us to be used. As soon as he sit on us, we ready for him to get up. Amen?
Amen.
He says we must trust his care and power to handle every life challenges. 1 Peter 5:7. Verse 8, And very great multitudes spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. The branches represent respect and honor to the king. But the question today is, what do you have to lay down for him? You know, today a lot of people talk about Lent. I don't quite believe in Lent. That's my own opinion. But God don't want us to give a piece of us. He just don't want us to give up chocolate cake. He just don't want us to give up going here. He just don't want us to give up this. He don't want us to give up that. But he want all of us, amen?
Amen.
What would you throw down for the Lord? And what will I render to the Lord for all his benefit? For all his goodness, what do you have to give to God that he hasn't already supplied? Palm trees represent victory, joy, and the welcoming of a king. Does anybody in here today got the victory? I can't hear nothing. Do anybody got victory in their life? Do anybody want victory in their life? Some people already got the victory, but it's some people that want the victory, amen? He want the victory today over all our circumstances and situation. Jesus is worthy of worship. Jesus is worthy of praise. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried saying, Hosanna! Hosanna means save now. Oh, Lord, I need God to do something through me right now. I don't need God not to do nothing for me tomorrow, but save now. Some people need a salvific salvation, and some people just need to know that God is going to work it out for them. Amen. To the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Isn't it a beautiful thing that people can come to us and give us an encouraging word? Give us a song to sing. Let us know that they've been praying for us. Someone this morning may need salvation. Someone today may need to cry out, save me now, Lord. I'm going through, Lord. I don't know what to do. I heard about you. I know I'm supposed to give my life to you. I know I'm supposed to be following you. But save me, because I can't do it by myself. Sometimes I start, and then I stop. Lord, save me. Make me whole. Make me complete. It says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Acts 8:8 said that when one of the servants of God got through doing ministry in that city, there was great joy in the city. When we get on one accord, when we get on God's team, when we get in God's mission, there will be great joy in our city. I went down last Sunday to the house of the Lord, and they had a citywide revival going on, and there was great joy in that place. People were shouting. People were singing. People was dancing. And the preached word was being preached. You say, who is this? Who is this that's getting all this praise? Some were moved in wonderment. Some were moved with laughter because he came on a donkey. Some religious leaders were moved by jealousy and indignation and envy. Some were moved by joy that the Comforter had come. The soon coming king had arrived, and they had great joy. Isn't it amazing how many different attitudes can be found in a crowd? Even in Christian crowds, even in churches, there's so many different attitudes that could be found. But I like the ones that say some were moved by joy. Yet who do you say the Lord is? Matthew 16, verse 13 and 17. Who do you say the Lord is? And the answer was by them in verse 11, he said that he was a prophet. I hear so many religions talk about that he's a prophet. I say he's more than a prophet. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. Y'all, do you know him? Do you know him? He woke you up this morning. Amen. Started you on your way. He put food on your table. He provided shelter in a time of storm. He was bread when I was hungry, water when I was thirsty. He's my Alpha. He's my Omega. He who is and who was and who is to come. He's my fountain of living water. Do you know him, church? He is the Word that was made flesh. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. He died. Didn't he die? But early one morning, he got up out of the grave. Didn't he get up?
Yes, amen.
Didn't he get up?
Got up.
With all power in his hands. But that's not the end of the story. Revelation 19:16 says that he's coming back, not on a donkey this time, but on a war horse with all the saints and the angels. And we say, thank you, Lord, that you're not dead, but you're still alive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Elder Rod, could you please repeat your point at the beginning? God has need of thee. Can you say them one more time for us, please?
God
I got the first and the last, but I didn't get in between.
God has need of thee.
Mm-hmm.
Give your burdens to the Lord.
Got that one.
What do you have to lay down for him? And Jesus is worthy of the worship.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amen. Any questions or